Lars, we're not going to talk about the election. We're going to talk about that big elk that you bagged.
That's what I'd rather talk about. We've still got a governor's race hanging fire out here by about 20,000 votes.
And you can see Lars's big elk, and I'm telling you, it's a big boy. You just go to his website and check that out. Lars, I also love the T-shirt, my to-do list, pray, vote, buy more ammo.
Well, you have to keep your priorities straight, don't you?
Well, I look at the headlines. I've been reading those all day from the state newspapers. Let's go to USA Today. Voters send angry message. GOP energized by Tea Party makes big gains. Dems lose Senate seats. It's not surprising because most people, including yourself, have been talking that the change is coming, but to see it so sweeping still is somewhat stunning.
It is, but you know, it's a great message, and it's a great way that we have of changing things here in America. When you wake up the public and you say to them, we're going to make the following changes, and the public says angrily because they're scared. Most people react with anger when they're afraid of something. When they saw what President Obama and the Congress had planned, they said, no way, we're taking it away from you, and we're handing it to the other guys. And that's it's appropriate that we have a system that allows you to do that without violence, which is the way it happens in a lot of other countries.
Lars, there's been two themes to my show this morning. One is in 2008, voters made a statement with the president that they voted for and with giving the Democrats control of Congress. 2 years later, they make another statement by letting the Republicans have the majority in Congress. Can we take from these last two elections that voters are saying, look, you got 2 years, make it happen, or we're going to find someone else to get the job done?
That's exactly what they're saying. They're not going to have any more tolerance for nonsense from the Republicans than they did for the Democrats. In fact, less. Because think about what's really driving this, Tony. This is the public that's unemployed or has friends who are unemployed. This is the public members of the public who've lost their houses or on the verge of losing their house. They don't have time to mess around. We have a country that still has an economic crisis, a jobs crisis, and we have government standing on the sidelines, if anything, I think, making the problem worse by not doing the things necessary to get the economy going again.
Lars, another point of the show was really stressed by voters, because in 12 of 13 local communities here in the mid-Michigan area, they all voted no on a proposal that would have increased their taxes but would have made police road patrols by the sheriff's department here in the mid-Michigan area available. As of January 1, voters decided, look, I can't afford this. If we don't have regular police patrols, so be it. If we're going to have to wait for the police to get out here for longer periods of time, so be it. I can't afford it. That was stunning to me because it let me know if you can't afford police patrols, you can't afford much else.
It might also suggest something else, Tony. It might also say people are ready to protect themselves. And, you know, you kidded about that T-shirt, but an awful lot of Americans went out and bought guns in the last couple of years, and they went out and they said, we understand that government has its hands full, government can't get the job done, fine, we'll take care of it. And that's not an outrageous message. That's actually an all-American message saying, I'll take care of myself, and when the police show up, they'll be able to deal with whatever it is that's there, and I'm happy to take on that responsibility because you can't afford to have government do it for you. That's a very responsible, self-reliant kind of American message.
Lars, Rick Snyder won the gubernatorial race here in Michigan by a 59-39% margin. He is a non-politician. He's never held public office. He ran Gateway prior to running here in the state of Michigan. And his whole theme was non-negative. It was about let's get business going again in the state of Michigan.
I think that's a great message. And in fact, I think I mentioned to you that in the state I broadcast in Oregon, the governor's race is hanging fire between a 35-year veteran and somebody who has absolutely no political experience whatsoever who ran for governor, because an awful lot of people have figured out that the guy with all the experience, the political experience, he knows how to do it the old way, but the old way is not what the voters want. And the voters say, we'd rather try anything else then put the old guy back in. And so I respect that kind of choice by your voters.
Lars, you had an opportunity to watch the returns last night and hear all the pundits. What caught your ear the most?
Well, the fact is that America said it wants change. And I think what's catching my ear, too, is that the president doesn't seem to be paying attention to that message. He keeps running around. Yesterday, he was on a hip-hop radio station in L.A. telling all the younger people in America, things are getting better. Well, I think the public says, no, things are not getting better. So until the president starts listening, until he starts saying that he's willing to sit down and work with the new Congress, I don't see him working with the new Congress right now. He never did. When he came in as president, he took 18 months to meet with Mitch McConnell. He refused to have a meeting with the Republican leadership to talk about ways to fix his health care plan. This is a president who's never had a history of working across the aisle or doing anything in a bipartisan way. Now he's got a partially Republican Congress, and he's going to have to, you know, to work with that, or we'll have gridlock, which may be what the American people want. If we can't have a government that works effectively and delivers what the public is asking for and needs, then gridlock is the next best thing.
Lars, what's your thoughts about the Tea Party effect and the Sarah Palin effect?
Interesting that there were only two United States senators out of all the changes last night that were made, there were Tea Party senators, only two. And on the House side, an awful lot of establishment Republicans were elected. We saw, you know, Republicans replace Democrats, but the Tea Party had some effect. It didn't maybe have as much effect as people had thought that it was going to have, and maybe that's where the news media got it wrong, but I think the Tea Party had a fairly major effect. I think it's helping to steer the Republican Party back to its roots and back to its core values.
What about Sarah Palin?
What about Sarah Palin? I think she's had a tremendous effect, and I think she's going to continue to have a tremendous effect. And in fact, I'm kind of hoping that she continues to stay in politics, although in media she seems to have had a tremendous effect as well.
Who do you think are going to be the leaning candidates to run for the presidency on the Republican side?
I'd love to see Mike Pence run from Indiana. I'd love to see Sarah Palin get involved, although it's, again, going to be a question of, do people trust that she has what it takes to be president of the United States? I'm not sure the public is convinced of that yet.
The Republicans now have control of the House. So they've picked up at least six seats in the Senate and may pick up a few more. What's going to happen for the rest of Barack Obama's term? What do you see going up? What do you see going down?
I think what's going to happen is you're going to see Obamacare defunded. And, of course, since that has, to this point, has been the president's signature issue, to have the president's signature issue not funded by the Congress because they didn't, you know, the American public didn't agree with it, I think that's exactly what should have happened.
You know, what's interesting about watching the election returns, and let's take the fact, let's not talk about the sound bites from people, but you just could feel the anger, you could feel the nervousness, you could feel the concern of voters in how they cast their votes in such large margins, especially for those incumbent Democrats to go down in so many areas.
Sure. Well, you know what's going on there. Like I said, anger usually comes when people are afraid. What are they afraid of in this case? They're afraid they're not going to have a job. They're afraid that they're not going to be able to pay their bills. And they look to the government and say, we think you, I think an awful lot of conservatives like me, believe the government helped create this problem. And they look to the government and say, fix the problem that you created. And when the government says it can't, or the solutions it chooses are not workable solutions, then the public is going to say, get this changed, and they're going to change out the people who take the votes that make this happen.
Well, Lars, you and I may get to meet at the Rose Bowl as those Oregon Ducks and Michigan State Spartans are positioning themselves for a nice matchup there.
The Ducks are doing very well, aren't they? And I haven't been to a Duck Rose Bowl in a long, long time, but it would be a pleasure to go back to one.
Well, now's not the time to cry the blues. It's been since 1979 for us here, so we're looking forward to that opportunity. All right, Lars, tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern time, you'll be on this radio station. What can folks expect to hear?
We're going to talk about the aftermath of this election, and I'm inviting people to call in and comment.
All right, Lars, it's always fun. It's always a pleasure, and I'll be listening tonight. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tony. Take care.